Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, May 9th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
Guys, I don't really want to beg, but when we start announcing some of these big things we're working on, you are going to want to be following us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. So go ahead and do that now. We'll wait. Okay, James, let's rock and roll.
Okay. I need to throw some Jeopardy music in there, don't I? Now?
You could.
All right. I'm so sorry that our friends over at Finding Neverland are going to be closing up. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. Late on Thursday night, the Broadway production of Finding Neverland announced that the show would close on August 21st over at the L'Enfantine Theater. The musical's first national tour has already been scheduled to launch a month and a half later, and details of the West End premiere will be announced next month. So there is still life for Finding Neverland as a property. But two interesting things were also announced in that closing press release, and that are apparently the Nederlander organization has offered the show and its Broadway tour an option to come back to Broadway at some point, similar to what we've seen with Hair a few years ago and with Motown coming up later this year. And producer Harvey Weinstein, who produced the musical and also happens to be one of the biggest movie producers in the world, says that they are already in the early stages of planning a filmed version of the musical, which is based already on a film. So that should be coming up in the next few years, however long a film takes to process. James, are you surprised by this announcement? I mean, it does struggle at the box office when kids are in school, but, you know, it does really well over the summer and on spring breaks and over the holidays when kids aren't there. And, you know, I thought it might hold out at least until January after the holiday boom happens.
You know, there are so many family shows on Broadway right now, and I never really felt like Finding Neverland was a good fit for Broadway. It wasn't my favorite show. It had its moments, but I was surprised that it held on this long, and
really?
Okay. Now it gives us the opportunity to get Kudish into Hamilton, King George.
I don't remember. I think we've pretty much dreamcast Mark Kudish in every show on Broadway at this point, which is ironic because in this next story, he very well could be a part of this next show. Because on Friday, in an interview that was released from Bethesda Magazine, Tony-nominated writer Dick Scanlon let slip that his and Kathleen Marshall's reworked version of the unsinkable Molly Brown is likely headed for Broadway.
Kudish is going to be Molly Brown?
No, but the show had an acclaimed 2014 production at the Denver Center Theater, which starred Fun Home Tony nominee Beth Malone. And there was talk about the show moving to New York even then. In fact, Beth talked about how hopeful she was that the show would eventually make it to Broadway when she was on our friend Patrick's The Theater People podcast back in January. And Mark Kudish, who we now know will be looking for a new job after August, he was in the last New York reading before it went to Denver. Some other Broadway names that were part of the Denver run included Burke Moses, David Abelis, Cameron Adams, Whitney Basher. And so this is a show that is ripe for a revival. It hasn't been on Broadway in many, many years. And with the success that Beth Malone had in Fun Home, it should be a lot of fun, especially with Kathleen Marshall directing and choreographing.
I wonder if it'll be a commercial production or if it'll be like a roundabout type of thing. Or
it sounds to me more like a fit for roundabout. I mean, Kathleen Marshall has a relationship with Roundabout, obviously. So that seems like a more appropriate fit for that show than a commercial run to me.
Kathleen is one of my favorites, and she's got other stuff going on up at New Haven.
She does. As we said, speaking of Kathleen Marshall, her newest show opened last week at New Haven's Long Wharf Theater. The show is a new musical called My Paris about the French painter Henri de la Toulouse-Lautrec. Hopefully Michael approves of my French pronunciation there. It features original music by Charles Aznavour and English lyrics and musical adaptation from Jason Robert Brown and a book by Alfred Urey, who has worked with Jason Robert Brown before on Parade. And Marshall will direct and choreograph that show. It does run through May 29th, so if you are in and around New Haven, I think this is a show you will probably want to check out. I haven't heard much about the show, so I don't know if this is something that has its sights set on Broadway, but anytime you can get people like Kathleen Marshall and Jason Robert Brown and Alfred Urey working on a show together, that probably means there's something pretty special going on there.
Absolutely. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. All right, so there's some more news coming up about Hamilton.
There is, James. Last week, your favorite website, I think it's the homepage on your browser, Heat Street, reported that when Lin-Manuel Miranda's contract as a performer is up with his juggernaut musical Hamilton later this summer, that he would be replaced by his current alternate, Javier Munoz, who would take over the role on a full-time basis. Coincidentally, Munoz also succeeded Lin-Manuel Miranda as Usnavi in the original production of In the Heights. If you remember, it was Heat Street a few weeks ago who reported initially that Hamilton would be filmed with the current cast, including Lin, before he or any of the other cast members departed. So, I don't know who it is, I don't know what it is, but it seems like this website might have a direct source of information to Hamilton that some of the other traditional theatrical media outlets do not.
Very interesting, or maybe they're trying to smoke out the mole in the company, you know? All right, so what's happened up in Massachusetts?
Well, it was announced last week that Dennis Massachusetts Cape Playhouse's summer season will be highlighted by a production of the Candor and Ebb classic Cabaret, directed by Broadway favorite Hunter Foster, and would star Krista Rodriguez as Sally Bowles and Nick Spangler as Cliff Bradshaw. Australian cabaret performer Kim David Smith will play the MC, which is interesting because since I'd never heard of him, I looked him up, and his bio says that his performance style is described as Weimar-era-inspired works that juxtapose authentic musical material with stylistic takes on current popular tunes. Seems a little out there for my personal taste, but it does make him a pretty interesting choice for the Weimar era MC. Cabaret will run at the Cape Playhouse from August 9th through 20th. Earlier in the summer, Foster's wife, Jen Cody, will play opposite Daniel Pierce and Neil Simon's Last of the Red Hot Lovers from June 7th through 18th. And Caitlin Davidson, who appeared in Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, both on Broadway and as Ella on the national tour, will star opposite Jeremy Webb in The Music Man from July 5th through 23rd. The season will also feature productions of Tally's Folly, The May Queen, and The Mousetrap.
That's an intense summer.
It's a lot of stuff, and there's basically one ends on a Sunday, the next one starts on a Wednesday, it looked like. So busy time up there at the Cape.
Absolutely. So pour some sugar on me.
Please don't ever say that to me. I know where you're going, but please, even in that case, let's avoid that. But yesterday, Oscar and Grammy winner Jennifer Hudson played her final performance as Shug Avery in the Broadway revival of The Color Purple, and tomorrow she will be replaced by Tony winner and Olivier nominee Heather Headley. James, other than a guest spot at the special El Divo concert on Broadway in 2013, this is the first time that Heather Headley has been back on Broadway since she left Aida in 2001. I saw her in Aida. I saw her in Lion King. She's done some theater in other places, including originating the lead role in the Bodyguard musical in the West End. Then last summer, she played the witch in Into the Woods at the Muni in St. Louis. But this is kind of a big deal for Heather Headley to be coming back to Broadway, isn't it?
It really has. And since she left Aida, I hadn't realized that.
It's been a long time.
Wow.
She's done other things. Yeah, she's done some R&B recording, and she's done a few TV and movie things here and there.
But I'm sure that she's busy. She's incredibly talented, but yeah. I didn't realize that we had missed her for so long.
Yeah, 15 years almost. She left in the fall of 2001 from Aida, and it'll be cool to have her back. I don't know how long her contract is. Obviously, Jennifer Hudson's contract was just for 6 months, so who knows if we'll get that much out of Heather Headley, but anytime you can have that talent on Broadway, that's a really good thing.
You were in like second grade.
I saw Lion King the summer before my senior year of high school. I saw Aida after my sophomore year of college.
All right, let's get into the recommendation section.
All right, James, now that they need any help selling tickets, but the Broadway production of Wicked has this semi-regular video series called Out of Oz. In previous editions, Aaron Tveit, Rachel Tucker, and Kara Lindsay have sung either stripped down or rearranged versions of Wicked songs. And they're pretty cool to see those songs in a different context. Their recent edition of Out of Oz, which was released on Friday, features original stars Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel duetting on For Good. And I am by no means a Wicked diehard. I have my own issues with that show in and of itself, but I still got goosebumps listening to these two Tony winners sing that song. It's no secret that they aren't exactly the best of friends, which I think made their performances even more impactful. And obviously, singing this song with different partners has kind of become one of Kristen Chenoweth's go-to things in concert. But I was really moved by this video. Have you seen it yet, James?
I have. I saw the good folks over at Vulture and New York Magazine had posted it on Thursday, and I saw it. Really great. A lot of fun. Have you seen the Jimmy Fallon, Andrew Reynolds video where Reynolds talks about going up?
I've seen it posted, but I haven't watched it yet. I heard it's pretty good, though.
It is pretty good. I guess Reynolds was on Jimmy Fallon talking about girls,
right,
and they started to talk about Hamilton and Reynolds was a temporary replacement, and when he came out to do the King's song, he went up, and he's got a very funny story. So we'll post a link to that in the show notes and check that out as well. Also, one of my recommendations is Jeremy Gerard and Jordan Roth are back in their talking, writing a column on Deadline.com. Last week's column was talking about the Tony Awards and how to make them more fair, and is the West End corrupt? And please, I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes and check it out and see if you can see if it's something that's interesting to you.
James, what did they say? What did they come to a conclusion on to how to make the Tony Awards more fair, or how aren't they fair now?
Well, one of the suggestions was to split out the play category into comedies and dramas, and they don't get too deeply in detail into this, but that's an interesting, interesting thought. But I mean, after cutting the Sound Awards on the Tonys and trying to really cut back this evening and take the technical awards onto a different day entirely and all the other things, expanding categories might not be the way that the Tonys would go, although you and I will have a longer discussion about what we think the Tonys should do. I really feel as though the Tonys should be an online-only event now. We should give up CBS, but I don't think that anybody's willing to give up that.
I don't know. I don't like that idea personally, but I agree that they need to do something to recognize as many members of the community as possible, because as we've talked about before, theater is the most collaborative thing you can possibly do in the world of entertainment. And to be, you know, pushing away the sound, the sound designers seems disingenuous. And I also love the idea that's kind of a Jen Tepper favorite of the of a Best Ensemble Award. I think that would be a great way to recognize those people that are very often unsung, even though they are the heartbeat and the backbone of a lot of Broadway shows, not just musicals, but plays as well. But I'd be interested to talk more about the splitting up of the plays. It's been an interesting mixed bag with the Emmys, having different comedy and drama categories. It's kind of a mess, to be honest with you, about how they classify what in each category. But that'd be an interesting thing to discuss. And obviously Jordan Roth is about as tied in and about as brilliant of a mind that Broadway has. So if he thinks that it's a good idea, I guess it's at least worth listening to.
Absolutely. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow Broadway Radio on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, please. And you can find me on Twitter at VWWMatt and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. We had a list of Palooza come out over the weekend. We will have a new episode that is very much Tony Award nomination driven that will come out later this week.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks so much for listening, and send us your feedback, and we will talk to you tomorrow.